G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
We have been in C3 Church Bathurst, we have been looking at the book of Ephesians. It's been really exciting discovering how magnificent God is. We've been looking at how magnificent his grand design is. We've been looking at how magnificent his masterpiece, people, humans, how magnificent they are. And that this morning, we get to discover how magnificent his church is, the glory of the church. Yes, you did hear me right. I did say the church. And even though you might be at home and thinking, well, that's a bit weird, just let's dive into this and see what happens. Because no matter where you are this morning, whether you're gathering as family or, you know, needing to be alone at this time, you are still part of his church. You are still part of his family, and that is truly magnificent. This morning, you're going to be blown away just by how amazing it is. Even in times when we can't actually meet face to face, how amazing the church is. So grab your Bibles and open to Ephesians. Ephesians 3 this morning. And let's look at verse 14. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. That was written by a man called Paul, an apostle, and he is excited. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. He's so excited because he has received a revelation. He understands something for the first time. He understands God's plans. God's plans that were there right from the beginning. He's got it. You see, for so long, Paul, or he's also known as Saul, he was living under the Old Testament law, and under that it was limited access to God. It was limited to God's own special people, the children of Israel, the Jews. And that's what Paul lived under. That was what he understood. You see, Paul was also a Jew. And as part of that, he was something called a Pharisee, someone who really understood the law, loved studying it and upholding everything, all the other laws that grew from that. That was his passion. That was his life. And that was his whole world. But suddenly, one day he met Jesus. Just on his own, on a road, he met Jesus. And then his world was turned upside down. His mind was widened. His eyes were open and he understood something so much bigger, so much grander, so much more magnificent than he could ever have imagined before. It was God's secret plan. Now, well, that's the title that's in my Bible, the NLT. In chapter 3, it's titled God's Secret Plan Revealed. And I find that it's just such an enticing title. I want to jump in and I want to find out what this secret plan is. It excites me. It draws me in. Because who doesn't love a secret being revealed? And imagine a secret that has been hidden for thousands of years. Suddenly, one that's full of God's passion in his heart is opened up and is made known. Of course, we can look back and we see that God laid a trail of hints. but people didn't really get it. Hints can be rather obscure sometimes. My husband, Jeff, he likes to do this kind of weird thing sometimes where he writes cryptic birthday cards with hints in them. One day, though, he took it another step forward and he created some cryptic hints for a holiday destination we were going to. He said something along lines of, "Tell me something about a sore." And that was like the clue that he gave to the kids. They were quite little. But they spent that trip, you know, they knew the vague direction we're going and they were trying to work out, you know, looking at the map, trying to work out, well, where were we going? We were going to a place called Sawtell. It was very random and quite cheesy. But looking back, it made complete sense. Tell me something about a sore. Well, God's hints, although not quite so cheesy, are a bit like that too. They make a whole lot more sense when we look back on them. But in the middle, they just don't quite understand them. And that's what happened for God's people as well. They didn't quite understand exactly what he was getting at. But looking back, now things were making sense and everything was being revealed. God's secret plan that was laid from the beginning is finally revealed. So what is it? What is it you're asking? Turn to verse 6 in Ephesians chapter 3. "And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promises of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Wow, the church, God's secret plan. How amazing is that? That he created the church to reveal all these things about his wisdom and his magnificence. Now, the Jews and the Gentiles, they were different people around in those days. They were God's special people, the one that he'd already revealed himself in some way to. And then there was the rest of the world. They were the two different groups of people. And at this point in time, they were separate and nothing could join them together. But now, Paul is saying, God's plan all along is actually for these people to be together, to be his church in this world, to know him, to understand him, to follow him, to love him together. That is just such exciting news. And I am, it just astounds me because and I look at Paul and I think, of course, he was excited because suddenly things were so much bigger and grander than he could think. It was like when Jesus gave one of those hints in Matthew 9, verse 17. He said it was going to be like a new wine being poured into new wineskins. That's the church. A new people filled with the Holy Spirit in this new church. How amazing is that? It all made sense. God planned this from the beginning. And now Paul understands this is all part of what Christ Jesus accomplished. You see, Jesus enabled people from all nations to become his church. He made this possible when he died on the cross and rose again. He made it possible for the things that separated people from God, not only the Gentiles, but even the Jews, because no one could get it all right. No one could follow all those rules and things that God had set out. It wasn't possible. It wasn't possible to be the people that God really longed for us to be. And so God made a way through his own son, Jesus. He made it possible for people to be forgiven and to then be joined back to God as his people. And this was open to everyone. No longer were the set of requirements laid out before people. All people were invited to be part of God's family, his church, just by believing in Jesus and what he had done. That is truly magnificent. And now you're sitting at home and you're thinking, well, that didn't work, did it? We're at home. How can we be church? How can we be this that we were called to be? Well, let's have a little think about what actually is church. Now, I have been reading through Bruce Shelley's Church History in Plain Language, and it's fantastic because it's really plain language and I can understand it. And it just, I'll just run through church history in a couple of seconds, as much as I've got up to in the book. So let's look at the first century. People were meeting in homes. So this is the first century after Jesus had come to earth and gone back to heaven. And people started gathering in homes together. They were reading letters and messages sent by the apostles, the people that God, that Jesus had asked to take hold of this. And they were figuring out how to be followers of Jesus in this completely new age. They were working it all out. By the time they got to the second and third centuries, things were getting a little bit more organized, but so much needed clarification. They needed to work out, well, what actually do we believe? And what makes a Christian different? What books and letters and things, what belongs in the Bible? What are the things that we're going to read and follow as God's word? And who is it we should be listening to? So all those things were kind of being outworked in the second and third centuries, and people were getting their heads around it. By the time we got to the Middle Ages, church was now influencing law, the pursuit of knowledge, and culture. It was starting to affect culture, and it formed even what much of what we call Europe today. But then that structure that had developed, it all just went a little bit too far. And so by the 16th century, reform was needed. Reform of the structures, a breaking out from the existing leadership of the church and opening up the way for multiple denominations, expressions of Jesus in the world, all different types of church, buildings, structures, organizations, the way people met. You see, over the years, you know, even from then until now, there have been challenges and changes to what the expression of church is. It's happened through political upheaval. It's happened through a developing scientific understanding, through different philosophies and different theories. It's come through persecution. And it's also changed through freedom. So many different things have influenced that expression of church, the expression of the way people meet together, the way that they talk about God and preach the message of Jesus, the way that they share that with others, the way they celebrate, the way they mourn. All those things have been affected over the ages. But even though the expression of church has changed across those times, what about church itself? Church that God created, church that Jesus was actually talking about. Has that changed? No. No, the exciting thing is that that church has not changed, and that church never needs to change. You see, it doesn't matter if you are online this morning or you've been used to meeting in larger groups. Sometimes, thousands of people have been able to meet together as His church. You see, the design of God's church is the concept of people being a part of one family under God. And that so overwhelmed Paul that it caused him to bow to his knees. And we need to understand that too. Set aside the history, there's many ups and downs in the way people have outworked God's church, and not all of them have been a part of what he wanted to happen. Not all of them have caused him to be pleased. But the actual essence of church that God created, God wants us to, Paul wants us to understand that God's plan so that we can actually live that out. And so he prayed. It says in verse 16, it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go deep down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Paul wants us to know, he wants us to understand who we really are in God. He wants us to understand that we are loved. We are loved by the Creator of the universe. He wants us to understand that we are included into his family. No matter who we are, no matter where we've come from, no matter what has happened in our world, we can be included into his family when we believe Jesus. And he wants us to be completely free in that space. To know how wide and how long and how high and how deep, what amazing freedom that is. And within that, we also can be completely and fully equipped to be his church and to be the people that God's created us to be. Because as we understand this, as we know this, as we discover who we are as his church, it will cause us to be more at peace as we trust him. So in this time when everything seems to be up and down and really uncertain, as you become part of his church, his family, and know who you are, you can have peace that God will look after that. He will look after his family. He will look after you as you trust him. It will enable us to become more firm, to be strong in his love, to be able to make decisions that need to be made and to be able to stand firm in those. And in the middle of that, even experience love from Jesus. and be filled with life and power that comes from God. As people together, as His church, all over the world, all over Bathurst, this, our city, His body loving and giving and helping, laughing and crying and forgiving, all those things expressing Jesus to our city, to our world. That truly is a wonderful and magnificent plan. That who could have dreamed that up but God Himself, the creator of all things. So today, sitting at home, possibly you're alone. I want to remind you that you are invited into and be a part of God's church. Through believing in Jesus and knowing His forgiveness, you can be filled with life. Peace and strength can flow into your world as you learn to trust Him more. You know, in this crazy world that we find ourselves, you will begin to love people in their fears. You will learn more to give to others, even when there might be nothing left. One last thing on the shelf. You'll learn to give it. You'll learn how to help those who are less able. But you'll also be laughing and bringing joy and hope to people around you, as well as crying and mourning with people in their sadness. All of these things are expressing Jesus as His church. The entry point to the church is knowing Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.